It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last week, educational visionaries from the area who are rethinking education gathered for their annual summit. As part of WESA's Life of Learning initiative, we're exploring what's on the educational horizon. And joining us now in studio is Kathy Lewis-Long, Executive Director and President of the Sprout Fund. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
In your opinion, Kathy, what should the approach to education nationally and in this area be, now and in the future?
Well, Paul, there's probably no one approach to education that's going to work for all places, for all children. So we understand children learn differently. Some students might thrive in school, while others excel best in more informal, out-of-school learning programs. So what's important is that children are excited and inspired by their learning. We have to meet them where they are and provide learning experiences that engage them and are also relevant to their success, that they're gaining the skills and the knowledge that they need to be successful in school, in work, and in life.
Two Pittsburgh area school districts, Elizabeth Forward and South Fayette, have been named to the League of Innovative Schools. Give us an idea of what's being done in this region to spark innovation among our teachers and especially our students.
Well, what we understand is that the world is changing fast and education needs to change with it. So these two school districts are great examples of tremendous leadership, both in the classroom and at the district level. They recognize that in order to make the learning available in their school, that it has to be learning that creates that aha moment. And so school buildings are beginning to transform themselves. They're beginning to think about curriculum differently, and they're thinking about partnerships and leadership differently. So Elizabeth Forward is a great example of a school district that has truly redesigned its school building, changed its curriculum. One of their programs is called the Dream Factory, where students are moving seamlessly between the art studio, technology, workshop, the computer science lab, to really have an integrated approach to their learning. So when we think about Elizabeth Forward and we think about the accomplishments that they have gained, it is because they have also harnessed the thinking behind learning today that is truly different than how you and I learned when we grew up.
And Pittsburgh is one of just four Hive networks in North America, along with Chicago, New York, and Toronto. What does that mean? And so has Pittsburgh become a national leader in education innovation?
You know, what's really exciting is as a city, we're really built on a history of innovation and a legacy of innovation. And the work that we've been doing as a network, taking a multidisciplinary cross-sector approach, has really gained the imagination and the interest of other leaders across the country. So we're thrilled to have joined the other Hive Learning networks that are understand that learning doesn't stop at 3 o'clock when school gets out, and that it really is the responsibility and the opportunity to have a more porous and fluid approach to learning, how we can harness all of the assets of a community to think about what is the role of a museum, of a library, of an out-of-school time, and really blend that informal and formal learning. So the work that we've been doing as a Hive is really this cross-sector collaboration to contribute to the overall learning experiences and outcomes for children.
In addition to reading, writing, and arithmetic, you say students need a fourth R, if you will, relevancy. You just can't tell students you need to learn this because you have to demonstrate that what they're learning is important to their future, right?
Absolutely. The basics, reading, writing, and arithmetic, are critical, but they are not enough to prepare a young person today. Digital literacy is so important to a young person's life as we live in a digital era. Again, the world is changing fast, and education needs to change with it.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Kathy Lewis-Long. She's Executive Director and President of the Sprout Fund. In the past, we've explored the educational disparities among school districts. How do you make sure every school district is benefiting from the education innovation that's taking place?
By taking a network approach in Pittsburgh, there are easy on-ramps for a classroom teacher, a superintendent, a principal within a district to get involved, to take a new approach to learning, to really think about the innovative strategies that help create the type of learning experiences that young people need. And so whether it's the STEAM grants that are now $2 million worth of investments directly into school districts, or it's our catalytic support through the Kids and Creativity Network that are opportunities available to all teachers, to all schools, to all districts. So we begin to see, we had an event 2 weeks ago. There were 36 school districts represented in that room. They were learning and working alongside museum educators and librarians and out-of-school time networks. So really beginning to think about what are the opportunities to change those learning experiences within the schools, and they're ones that are open to all schools. What's very important today is that we create more opportunities for more children to get the educational value and outcomes that they need to be successful in the workforce.
This past weekend, Henry Winkler, the actor, better known as...
The Fonz.
Right, exactly. And now an author of children's books who is dyslexic and who has written books addressing dyslexia in particular, talked about how difficult it was to pass geometry. And he said, you know, one of the things that he thinks about now is how the word hypotenuse has never come up in his life since he was in grade school. I think that speaks to the relevancy that you were talking about earlier. Is it enough just to explain relevancy to kids that if certain subjects don't fit the aptitude, don't square with their talents, that maybe you push them in a different direction?
Paul, you're absolutely right. So some children are going to learn great in school, and it's a great path for them. And it's a very linear path. So you grow up, you go to school, you go on to college, you go on to a successful job. Other children are going to learn better in a more peer-to-peer environment or an informal environment. And how we can begin to think about the contribution that that out-of-school time plays in creating relevant learning experiences for a young person that allow them to then represent that knowledge as they move on in life is important. And so while Johnny might learn better in school and Joey might learn better at the Boys and Girls Club, it is really important that we begin to understand and create parity among those learning experiences. Too many kids are falling out of the pipeline. They're not excited by school. Their learning styles might not be ones that are conducive for school, but they're, as a city, as a community, we can begin to harness all of the assets, all of the institutions, all of the caring adults that play an important role in a young person's life, and really create a pathway or a journey that's lifelong.
Pittsburgh is one of six U.S. cities involved in the Cities of Learning initiative. Would you tell us about this program?
So the Cities of Learning is really a national initiative, a national movement to harness all of the resources that cities have and make them available to students as they learn and explore their futures. Badging becomes a really key component to that. As we talked about, a youth might hopscotch through a community, and all of those are valuable learning experiences. Badges become a great opportunity to light up that path or to make that path visible, whereas right now, the only way to capture what a young person knows in terms of an assessment is a grade or a transcript, and that grade is very opaque. My B in a class may not be the same B that you've earned in a class, but a badge becomes an opportunity to really make explicit the skills, the knowledge, and a disposition that a young person has learned. So the City of Learning is an effort to look at our city as a campus and to look at all of the experiences that contribute to that learning experiences and to begin to use badges as a way to make visible the learning that's happening within a city.
As part of that initiative, you just talked about the digital badges program created this summer involving many organizations. Explain how it works. You explain why it's important as an incentive, but then how do you earn those badges?
Well, if I may, I would just say that badges are probably better understood as a motivation than as an incentive. But we all understand badging kind of from a historical perspective, a Girl Scout badge. A badge is something that is a way to demonstrate a skill that you've gained, a competency that you know, or a disposition that you have. So when we think about the skills that a young person will have, we also need to think about the 21st century skills. Things like, how do you represent your ability to collaborate or teamwork or your creative tendencies? And so badges are, they're really just an instrument or the infrastructure to contain that information. So again, as I was saying, a grade is very opaque. A badge is literally clickable. And so you can click in it and you say, what is the skill that this badge was earned for? Where was it earned? It's verifiable. So you can, you know, really understand when was that, when did that learning occur? You can have artifacts of that learning, so it's kind of a portfolio. And then what's really interesting and exciting about badging is that it's personal. It's learner-centered. And so as I collect my badges, I put them in my digital backpack, and I can stack them, and I can gain them from different places within a community. So right now, grades belong to the institution. Your institution issues you your transcript, whereas badges are a learner can earn badges in many places throughout the city, and then he or she can decide how he wants or she wants to represent the learning, the knowledge, the skills, and the dispositions they have. So if a young person were coming into your studio to apply for a job, he or she may represent how what they know one way. If they're going somewhere else, they may collect a different set of badges to represent themselves. So it's really allowing the autonomy and the personalization that's necessary to represent yourself. And what's most exciting is that young people, they live in a digital world. And so it's really meeting them where they are. It's allowing them a very learner-centered approach to their portfolio. And I think what's clear is that, you know, I think about my own child who's 9 years old, and when he's heading into the workforce, his resume is certainly going to look different than resumes today. And we see badges as a disruptive innovation, as a great way to capture the incredible learning that happens within a community and giving a young person the skills that they need to represent that.
And the Sprout Fund has a kids and creativity network to support innovation. What other programs is the Sprout Fund implementing to support innovation?
So the Kids and Creativity Network is a collection of more than 200 organizations. It's about 2,000 members of our community from many different sectors, formal educators, informal educators, educators working in museums and libraries, learning scientists, roboticists, artists, mentors, that are all contributing to really beginning to think about remaking, reimagining learning. So within that work, the Sprout Fund serves as a steward or as the connective tissue to really guide that network forward. But we also have a catalytic grant-making program, so we provide the resources to support new and innovative programs and grants. We're a convener within the network, so bringing together affinity groups for lunch and learns and meetups and sending people to conferences and providing stipends and fellowships, and also really helping to tell the story of the learning innovation that's happening here, to be a communicator, to share the knowledge and the ideas around learning innovation.
Kathy Lewis-Long is Executive Director and President of the Sprout Fund, joining us here to talk about rethinking education. Kathy Lewis-Long, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
And to hear more stories produced as part of 90.5 WESA's Life of Learning initiative, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.